Thank you, preacher. Amen. Well, it's a joy and a privilege to be with you folks again. Actually, was here 30 years ago when Brother Peacock was here, and we were out and about and such, and it was a blessing to be able to see what the Lord had done at that point, and now what the Lord has continued to do. To God be the glory, amen. And I originally from a place called Tyler, Texas. It's about 100 miles east of Dallas, and I was born and raised there. I went to California for Bible college at a place called Pacific Coast Baptist Bible College, and then I went and worked in a church in the Portland, Oregon area, and I fell in love with the Pacific Northwest. And but the Lord had me go back to California to school, and then I ended up working in a church in a place called Russellville, Arkansas. And it's a small little place. It's only about 75 miles south of Booger Holler, and you know those big places in Arkansas. So from there, I went and worked in a place called Yukon, Oklahoma. And then I got a phone call. Well, I got married, and my wife, Regina, would you stand for us, please? And got married, and then my home church had never started a church out of that church. And so they asked us to come, and we went 55 miles from Tyler to a place called Palestine, Texas, and we started the Anderson County Bible Baptist Church. And we were there for 5.5 years. And during that time, the Lord was really burdened my heart to go back to the Pacific Northwest, Washington, Oregon, someplace. And we had a missionary come through. We had 5 acres of land. We had a set up for missionaries to put their campers and such on. We had a missionary come through that was going, of all places, Prince George, British Columbia, Canada. And he said, well, why don't you pray about coming to Canada? And so, long story short, that was in February. In December, prayed about it a little bit, but in December, during hunting season, I was in the woods, and I had my uncle's rifle that he brought back from the war. It was a 7.7 Jap rifle and open sights, and I was deer hunting, and I did something very foolish. I leaned my gun against the barbed wire fence and the post, and I went down here to climb over the fence. And as I was climbing over the barbed wire, well, barbed wire, it gets a hold of you. It doesn't let you just go. And you start to fall, and I did, and then something else grabbed me and grabbed my pants here and my coat here, and the staples in that post popped out, the nails popped out, and the gun ended up at looking down the barrel of the gun, and I got on my knees, and I said, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. And next February, we resigned our church there, Anderson County Bible Baptist Church, and was raising our support to come to Canada and British Columbia in particular. And during that year, I made a trip up here, and I met a pastor over in Abbotsford, British Columbia, a man by the name of Milton Johnson. That was in August. In September, he contacted me and asked me if I'd pray about candidating for the church there. Long story short, he had resigned. I had candidated for the church there, and they eventually called me to be their pastor. And we were in Abbotsford for 12 years, fell in love with the folks there, and God was blessing the ministry there. And we resigned that work because we had been praying for somebody to go to Prince George for a long time. For that missionary that went to Prince George, he did for a year. But he couldn't renew his work permit. The government would only allow him to do it. Him and a fellow by the name of Raymond Sauer. And they were there. Matter of fact, Brother Sowers came to Washington State and worked in the OMAC area of the Indian reservation there. We ended up praying and praying and praying for somebody to go to Prince George. And we did, and in 1996, my family and I moved to Prince George. We started the Smith... started the Spruceland Baptist Church, and we have been there ever since, and we praise the Lord for what he has done. A number of years ago, we were able to buy 3 city lots in the Southport, Georgia part of town, and then in 2020, we started building our building. He said 2 years ago, it took us 3 years to build it, right when COVID hit. And the engineers, the architect said it was going to run us about $960,000, and it ran us about $1.4 million. So a little bit more, but, you know, the prices pre-COVID, a 4x sheet of plywood was about $40. During COVID, it was $115 a sheet. And once you get started in the north, you've got to finish it. And so we did. It took us a while to finish it with a lot of delays. But a year ago, or 2 years ago, Father's Day, this coming Father's Day, we were able to meet in our building with a temporary permit. And then by the next September, we got a full permit. And God is really blessed. We've had people saved. We have people baptized. And we want to thank you for your prayers. We want to thank you for your love offering that you gave towards our building and such. It's been a real blessing. And we say thank you. And may God bless you and continue to give you the vision as to what God can do right here at Valley View Baptist Church. As you not only look over the valley before you, but you look up to realize that God's got something special for you. Just to follow his leadership and the working of the Holy Spirit of God, and God will truly bless you in this. If you have your Bibles with you, let's look in Luke chapter number 10, if you would, please. Luke chapter 10. Just a few things to share with you. This year, I turned 73 years young, and we've been at the church for 30 years. We started it. We are praying that the Lord will give us a pastor to be able to take that work and go on with it. And so you can put that down for a prayer list that Spruceland Baptist Church is praying for a pastor. And my wife and I, we're not getting out of the ministry. We're moving on into other aspects of ministry. We feel like as long as the Lord gives us good health, we want to keep serving the Lord. I did, coming up 3 years. Yeah, 3 years ago, I did have my heart attacked me and ended up having a stent put in. But other than that, doing pretty good. Last year, I was attacked by sciatica. Anybody here have sciatica? Oh, that is very painful and such. And so you get older, you got all these things. You got some things to look forward to, Brother Jeff. So, and but you know what? We're going on for the Lord. So Luke chapter 10, if you would listen, and I'm going to read a few of the verses here. We're going to look at this evening very shortly. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Therefore, he saith unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Once again, Father, we pause before you and we thank you for the day and for the blessings of it. For watching over us, the many things that these folks have done today, and yet you watched over each and every one. Lord, there was not a hair that fell off of our heads today that you did not know about. We thank you, dear God, that as we have now chosen of our own free will and volition to be able to come to your house to worship you in song, to listen to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, Father, tonight we pray that we would give you our undivided attention. And Lord, that our hearts would be sensitive tonight. And the Spirit of God would speak to us. And we would just use those simple words of, yes, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for that. For those who need you the most. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people said, amen, and praise ye the Lord. Here we see in Luke chapter 10, the Lord is there. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Going back to chapter 9 and verse number 1, if you would please. Luke chapter 9 and verse 1, Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sickness, and said unto them, take nothing for your journeys, neither stave nor strip nor bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when ye go out of that city, shake the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So in chapter number 9, we see that the Lord here has called out 12 of his men, 12 of the disciples, and gave them power and gave them authority as they went out. And now we see in chapter 10 that he called out and appointed, or he called and appointed other 70 also. So we see that there he had his 12, and now he has his 70. And then he shares with us something that's very important. He says in verse 2, therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You see, he had the 12, and now he sent out the 70. And then he says to those that were there, the laborers are still few, even though he started out with 12 and now he's got 70 that are going out. And that's more than double, tripled, quadruple as to the amount that's going out. And he says, but yet the harvest is truly great. And he says, the laborers are few. So what are we to do? We're to pray. We're to pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into his harvest. And that's where Valley View Baptist Church come in. Do you realize that you are the answer to someone that has been praying for laborers right here? You are the ones that through days gone by, that there are those who have cried out and prayed that God would save people and baptize them and disciple them and make Sunday school teachers out of them and make door knockers and witnesses out of them, make Christians that would live out their Christianity to show their neighbors the love of Jesus from their heart, to show their parents, to show their other relatives that Christ has made such a difference in their life. You see, you are the laborers that others have been praying for, and yet the harvest is still great. And yet we see that the laborers are few. So we are to be the ones that are still continuing to pray. As your pastor prays for laborers, as the men and as the ladies, and as each and every one looking at the Sunday school children. I was 14 years of age, and my pastor came to me and he said, Jeff, I want you to teach a Sunday school class. What? I'm only 14. I used every excuse in the world not to teach a Sunday school class. I was only 14. I said, you require your Sunday school teachers to go out visiting. I don't drive. And he said, that's okay. Elmer Wyatt is the primary superintendent of the primary class. And he'll go visit his 8-year-old boys and take you, and you'll go visit boys that are 7 years old. And he'll take you out on visitation. And you know what? I gave my preacher excuse after excuse after excuse not to teach Sunday school. And you know what? He kept giving me answer after answer after answer. I didn't know how to. He said, that's fine. He says, every Wednesday night, we give out an outline, we give out a lesson, and we take 30 minutes to talk about Sunday school, building your class, praying for your class, and we give a quick outline so that you are able to study that, and you're able to stand before those 7-year-old boys and teach those boys Sunday school. What else are you going to do? Teach Sunday school. Amen. And I did it 14 years of age with the help and the prayer and those that were praying for laborers. I was the answer for that prayer of laborers for our Sunday school. And this is where that we get involved in the work of the Lord that God has for us. Now, notice what he says. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I've mentioned this before, but when I was in junior high, we started witnessing to people, and I went to Hogg Junior High. Stephen James Hogg was a governor of Texas, and he had a daughter named Ima. And that's the truth. But that was my first mission field. I was able to lead Butch and Randy, two of my buddies. I was able to lead them to Christ. And at a missions conference, a missionary shared with me, Brother John Barnes, missionary to Costa Rica, he shared with me, he says, when a saved person and an unsaved person meets, that's the mission field. And so when you, as a born-again child of God, you exit this building, you're actually entering into your mission field. And we have that opportunity in which we can share the good news. Now, notice the size of this field. It is great. It is a great field. 8 billion people in the world. 8 billion people in the world. Your city is a small city, but it's nonetheless, it is a city of souls. There are souls that are in this area that needs to be reached for Christ. The need is for laborers. Those that will say, "Hear my Lord, send me." At my Bible college, I had a couple of professors that were missionaries to the land of Korea. And Brother Jack Baskin was one of them. And there was a fellow by the name of F.C. Lassiter. And this was right back in the early 50s. Both these men have just came back from the battle in Korea that was there. And now they're back in the States and they're surrendered to serve God. And they're praying. And F.C. Lassiter, they're talking about Korea and such. And F.C. Lassiter is praying with Jack Baskin. And F.C. said this. He said, "Hear my Lord, send Jack." And you know what? Jack Baskin ended up going to the mission field. He ended up going to Korea and served the Lord there for a great time. And that's the great need. And notice what the remedy of this is to prayer, is to pray for workers. Not only to pray for workers, but pray for the workers that are there. Why? Look in verse number three. "Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." You see, every one of us, we live in a very hostile place. As a born-again child of God, that means that you are twice born, right? As a born-again person, you're twice born. You and I are living in a world filled with once-born people. And it is a hostile world out there for Christians. That's why we need to love them and pray for them and win them to Jesus. Amen? Because every one of us at that time, we were that once born person, but because of somebody praying and somebody caring and somebody sharing the gospel with us, we were able to experience the second birth and we've been born again. But it is a very hostile world out there. A friend of mine, Glenn, he was moose hunting up in around Prince George. And as he got out there, it was about 4 o'clock, and he got out there and he went, "Oh, oh," made a couple of moose calls. And then he got settled in, and there's this lake right there waiting for him. And all of a sudden, on the other side of the lake, there was some rustling in the woods over there. And then all of a sudden, on this big rock, hopped an alpha wolf. Man, he jumped up there. You could see the strength in him. You could see, I mean, it was hundreds of yards away, but that wolf was there. And there was a wolf pack. There was a number of wolves that were with him. They all came up, and that alpha wolf was standing on that rock. Hunters don't like wolves. He put his crosshairs right on that wolf, shot him dead right there. And that wolf fell right over dead. But he was not expecting. The wolf pack split and started running around the lake. One was going one direction, some was going this direction, and as they split, they were coming towards him. And he turned and he started moving and running and trying to get back to where his truck was. And Glenn, I mean, he fell over a couple of times, he said, but he finally got back to where his truck was. He got in his truck, and he could tell that the wolves were right there at the edge. They never came out in the open. But he knew that the wolves were right there. You see, we live in a very hostile world. And as an individual Christian, we are battling with wolves ourselves. We've got wolves that are, we have an alpha wolf that is after us. And we think, well, praise God, we get victory over him. But realize that as soon as that wolf is down, there'll be another one that will come up. That's why we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the great protector. He has put us upon a solid rock. He has put a new song in our mouths, even praises to our God. And yet we live in a very hostile world. And yet as we go forth, he says, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes and salute no man by the way. Simply here, he is saying that as we are going by faith, just trust him. He says, as you go, don't worry about taking all the things of this world. Trust me and lean upon me and look to me. We are to live by faith. The Bible says three different times, the just shall live by faith. That means that we're just going to trust God and look as to what God is able to do. And then notice verse number 5, the message. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. What a great message is that. You know what? That every one of us needs peace. We need, first of all, we need peace with God. And that's what he talks about when we come to know Christ as our personal Savior. In Romans chapter 5, it talks about peace with God by access through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we have peace with God. You see, before we get peace with God, we're the enemy of God. And we need to be reconciled to God. And that is the peace of message, a peace that God gives to us so that we can be right with God. We can be reconciled with God. But not only is it a great message that you and I can be right with God and in relationship with God, but the very peace of God, which passes all understanding, is there as well. And so the message that is there. Now, it's interesting that in verse number 6, he says, and if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. And the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire and go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and when they receive you, eat such thing as set before you. Heal the sick. That are therein, say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And so we see that there is going to be the message that is going to go forth as the laborer is worthy of his hire, as the laborer is there to go and send the message. There are going to be those that are going to receive that message. There is a good reception that is there. However, in verse 10, and into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways, go out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleave to us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. You see, there are those who have not received the message, but we still are to give the message. Because you do not know who's going to receive it and who's going to reject it. I don't know who's going to receive it and who's going to reject it. Here's the great thing about it is, though, we continue giving out the message. We continue giving out the good word. And somebody might not understand it or take it today, but tomorrow they might. It is there, that message and the power of the gospel that goes forth to bring this to truth, to bring this to where it ought to be. And so we see that there are those who will receive it and those who will not. In verse number 12, he says, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the day of Sodom than in this city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works that were been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Here we see the message that is there of judgment as well. You see, a lot of people don't understand that God's going to judge, and God has judged, those that are without Christ, The Bible makes it very plain that as an unbeliever, the wrath of God is abiding upon us, that we're condemned already. It is only when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is only when we trust Him that we come out from under that condemnation. And now as a child of God, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And so here we see that it is a message of judgment, and there are those that are going to receive it, and there will be those who will reject it right there. Look with me, verse 17. And the 70, which 70 is that? That's the 70 in verse 1. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Oh, there is joy. First of all, we see that there is a passing joy. The joy that is there. They return with joy. And they said, you know what, Lord? Even the devils were subject unto your name. But true joy is not in the power of the ministry, but true joy is in the power of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Because he says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And that is permanent. You see, there's a lot of passing joy in this world. And praise God for that, because that's the encouragement that we need. But praise God for the permanent joy that we have, that God gives to us. And then the joy of prayer. Look at verse 21. And in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. He rejoiced in spirit. And said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son, but who the Son is, but the Father. And the Father is, but the Son. And he whom the Son will reveal him. Oh, let me tell you something. There is that prayerful joy that is received. And then in verse 23, and he turned unto him and said to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see these things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see these things, those things which ye have seen and have not seen them, and to hear the things which ye have heard and have not heard them. And behold, a lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Oh, we see in verse 23 and verse 24, the joy of service. He says, you know what? You're able to see these things. You're able to hear these things. There are those who that would desire these things, but you are able to enjoy them. The joy of serving God that you and I get to do right here in your community. You know what? I am thankful for my Sunday school teacher that I was saved under. I was saved when I was 10 years of age. My cousin was my Sunday school teacher. And he came and invited me to church so that I could hear the gospel. I'm thankful that I had a junior high teacher. I got a little backslidden, got away from the Lord a little bit as a young person. But I had a pastor's wife who took over the junior high department. She wrote me a letter and encouraged me to get back in church. And I did. And I'm so glad I had a youth pastor that loved me. I'm so glad that I had a pastor that cared and reached out to me. My folks were separated when I was 15. And by the time I was 16, they were divorced. I was the baby of six kids. And everybody else had left home except for me. And there was a lot of decisions, a lot of heartache, a lot of things that I had to go to. But I am so thankful that I had a church that loved me. A church that prayed for me. A church that encouraged me. You see, that's what each and every one of us can do. As we are breathing, as we are living, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. When I pastored in Abbotsford, Brother Peter was in the Minnow home there, a nursing home. and he was 93 years of age. At 92, Funk's grocers said, "You can't come down here and hand out tracts anymore. We're afraid you're going to fall and get hurt." But he at 92 would go down and hand out gospel tracts. And he can't do that anymore. So he'd call me and he'd call other preachers to come and take the tracts. And I was there visiting with Peter. And Peter said, "My wife's been gone to heaven for 7 years now." And he said, "Why doesn't the Lord just call me home? Why didn't Jesus just take me home? I want to go home to be with Jesus. Why didn't he just take me home?" And I said, "Brother Peter," I said, "God's got you here so that I can practice my Christianity and I can come and pray with you and read the Bible with you and sing with you." And you thought, wow, the Lord does have a purpose. And you know, you might know someone that's up in your ears. There's your opportunity to serve God by caring to others, young and old alike. When God has people that are still living, still functioning in this world, this life, you and I have an opportunity to practice our Christianity and to love them, to visit with them, to encourage with them, to sing with them, to read the Bible with them. It is just that opportunity to be able to serve. We have a lot of challenges in this day and age in which we live. My wife and I, we just last year made a trip to Australia. And while we were there, we made a trip down to New Zealand. And one of the desires that we have, I had this saved and then it got unsaved. The way that works here we go, is that we get a pastor for our church. We're going to continue ministry. Many of you folks know Bob Hawkins. Remember Bob Hawkins? He would preach for us. He'd come up and stay with us 6 weeks while we were gone and preach in our church and love our people and eat out of our refrigerator and just have a great time. Well, that's kind of what we're wanting to do, is to be a help to preachers and stuff and to get involved. We visited a pastor way down in southern New Zealand. And he's way south. He's kind of like Prince George, way from the beaten path. And we were there, and I said, my wife and I, we called him. I want to go down to look at a certain lighthouse down there. And we took his wife and him out for coffee. And he said, when we got to have the coffee, he said, it's my shout. And I said, "Your shout?" And he said, "Yeah, I want to pay for it." I said, "Oh, brother," I said, "no, we called you. We come. We want to take you out." He said, "Brother, you don't understand." He says, "We never have anybody come by just to say hello. We're off the beaten path. Everybody that we have come to preach for us in a revival, a missions conference, or a Bible conference. We have to have people come. Nobody just drops by." And out of 30 years and 35 for the whole church, we were the very first one that for no other reason just wanted to drop by. You see, there's an old saying down in Texas, if you're ever out driving around, just stop by. Well, I take that literally. I do. I stop by and visit. We visited one preacher in Guymon, Oklahoma. He was a plumber as well as a pastor, and he had 30 minutes for lunch. And we said, "Well, we'll buy you lunch." Well, we didn't. We stood outside a grocery store there and visited the whole 30 minutes and before we had to hit the road again. But you know what? It encourages one another. We met one family there, and come to find out that he graduated from Maranatha, the preacher did, and we were talking about our daughters, and his daughter lives in Tyler, Texas, and our daughter lives in Tyler, Texas. And so the brother said to us, he's told my wife, he says, "If you go to Tyler, if you go see my daughter, give her a hug for me." And so she said she would. Well, last November, she went down, and this lady has a coffee truck where they sell coffee on the side of the road, but we couldn't find it anywhere. But she was at a craft fair type thing for selling stuff for Christmas. And so my wife went by, and I'm going to read to you the story that she wrote on her Facebook. Her name was Ann, and it goes like this. I got a God wink tonight I didn't even know I needed. I was at a little event up in Tyler, and about halfway through, a lady walked up to us and asked if I was Ann. I like, yeah, that's me. She then asked if she could give me a hug. Well, it was a bit strange, but hey, I'm a hugger, so why not? While hugging me, she whispers that this hug is from my dad, which completely sent me backward with a, huh? She explained that she was a missionary in Canada and that they had been visiting Australia and stopped a few months ago in New Zealand and attended my family's church. And like old friends, they discovered their daughters and, of course, me both lived in Tyler 5 minutes from each other. Small world. By this time, I have tears streaming down my face. And she gave me another hug from my sister. I just couldn't stop sobbing and hugging her. You see, she's also the same height as my mom, and even dresses and looks like my mom, LOL. It felt like I had my mom holding me, even for a few moments, instead of on the other side of the world. I still couldn't stop hugging her and crying in Bubba's parking lot, LOL. And even Lexi, this is her daughter, teared up. She has been trying to find me at my coffee trailer, but instead found me at a craft booth tonight. This has been a rough couple of weeks for our family with some situations that have risen. And God knew that there is just sometimes that you need that little extra something. He knows, He loves. I was later joking, that was a Hallmark moment in the parking lot. Not even realizing their last name is Hallmark. And so, yes, I did love it. You see, the missionaries and those that are gone around the world, they're separated a lot from their family. And we have that opportunity, you have that opportunity to be a blessing and encouragement to someone. And it doesn't matter. We have a lot of rejection. We have a lot of trials. But the songwriter wrote it this way. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. That's for each and every one of us. God gives us another day. Let's run the race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, thank you so much for Valley View Baptist Church. Bless them, strengthen them. Be with their pastor, be with their men, be with their ladies. Lord, bless their children. Father, as they go forward in Jesus' wonderful name, it will be worth it all that we go through, all the trials, all the testings, all the heartaches, it will be worth it all. The victories that we have in seeing those who would turn to Christ and trust Christ and given unto them eternal life, what a blessing it is to be able to serve you. Lord, we love you tonight, and we thank you so much for your love for us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.